A planet spins into view in a vast galaxy. Two rings encircle it as words appear. Universal, an MCA company. Titles appear. A Lawrence Gordon, Joel Silver production. A Walter Hill film. On a baseball field, a right-handed pitcher goes into his windup with runners at first and second base. Text scrolls. This is the story of Montgomery Brewster, a relief pitcher in the minor leagues of life who got handed the American dream on a very hot plate. On the mound, the pitcher hurls the ball, then the batter hits it and starts running. An outfielder catches the fly ball, steps over a section of railroad track, and throws to a Bulls teammate in the infield. The Bulls manager calls to the pitcher from the dugout. The Pulaski Field scoreboard shows visitors 8, Hackensack Bulls 9, with two outs in the top of the ninth. Two female fans cheer on the next Camden batter. Rudy points toward the mound, then at himself, then to home plate. Brewster winds up and delivers the next pitch. Rudy hits a fly ball over the fence, but outside the left field foul pole. The Bulls' portly catcher addresses him.
I bet you feel like a big piece of shit, don't you?
Talk all you want, Porky.
Rudy taps him with the bat.
Here we go, Monty. Ready to Porky, Claus. Throw it into Porky.
Rudy hits another monster shot to left, which sails just wide of the foul pole. The scoreboard shows two strikes. Monty goes into his stance. A freight train passes through the outfield. Richard Pryor in. Brewster's Millions. The catcher approaches the curly-haired, mustached Monty, who wears number 35.
It's all right. Come on, take it easy. Now, don't lose your concentration.
Don't lose the concentration. The goddamn train's coming through the outfield.
John Candy. As the train continues to pass, a Bulls fielder impatiently tosses and catches his glove. Lynette McKee. In the crowd, a man in a trilby and cheap suit prepares to take a photo.
There's a guy up there in the bleachers, front row. He's got a hat, camera. He's been taking pictures of me for the last three games.
The man snaps photos.
I'm telling you, I think he's a scout for the big leagues.
Monty, this is Hackensack, New Jersey. No scout comes here, you understand that? The train's going through the outfield right now. But if you strike this guy out, I'll take you with me tonight and we'll get you drunk. That's a promise. Two out. Two!
As the man aims his camera again, the guy in the adjacent seat gives him a hard nudge. Monty grins at Rudy's dark-haired fan, who points at him mockingly.
Look at him, he's a little ragdoll!
As Monty blows her a kiss, Rudy takes a practice swing in the batter's box. Monty's eyes narrow, then he glances behind at the Camden base runner on second. Monty tosses a high, slow lob. Rudy swings and misses, falling to one knee. He throws his helmet down, along with his bat. Together, the Bulls run off the field. Now, at a bar, people drink and socialize. Stephen Collins. Jerry Orbach. A waitress carries an empty pitcher. Pat Hingle. Tova Feldschuh and Hume Cronin. Monty chats with the two female Camden fans.
That's why I'm not gonna bullshit you, okay? I can tell you I'll see you next year. I'm not gonna see you next year because I'm gonna be playing with the big league.
Camden?
That's right. I don't know what team, but I'm gonna be playing with some team. You'll see me on television and you'll see your friends. And you know that guy? That's the guy that wanted to date me. But no, I was too stupid.
In a phone booth.
Jake here. I'm in Hackensack.
It's the photographer.
Same picture. He was out drinking till 3:30 in a bar in Plainfield last night. Then he picked up some girl, took her back to the hotel. I figure tonight's agenda looks about the same. He's in a bar celebrating his victory. Yeah, he was a winning pitcher today.
Yeah, right now you're playing for Hackensack, so what are you doing running around in a Cubs jersey, huh?
A Cubs jersey? What are you talking about? Hey, what number is that?
Says 35.
Well, that was my number when I played with the Cubs. They were the only big league team smart enough to let me play for them.
You're a good pitcher? Well, he's enthusiastic. Kind of like a kid in a candy store, you know what I mean?
The catcher heads over to Monty.
Excuse me. Come over here,
There you go, sorry I'm late. Allow me.
He opens a beer bottle with his mouth.
Attractive.
Thank you very much.
The blonde fan looks him over.
Look, just keep your eye out for Rudy, will you?
He doesn't exist. There is no Rudy.
Yes, sir. I'll break the news to him first thing tomorrow morning. No, sir, I won't lose sight of him.
Hey, let me tell you something about athletes, okay? I mean, after a game, we gotta relax. We gotta come down, unwind. My doctor told me, he said, hey, Brewster, man, get a massage and come down.
We were reading in a medical journal that was left in the locker room the other day, an article written by this Oriental doctor on massages. See, we in the West give a massage like this, you know? And see, all the energy coming from my hands is stopped by the fabric. Apparently, we here in the West don't know that, and we're just massaging for nothing. So his theory, and you know, I don't know, it's the theory, is that if you're nude and you get a massage, that's the best thing for you.
Good for your muscles, nude.
We're wondering, maybe you might like to try the theory nude with us.
The four of us nude would be great.
Oh, that would be fun.
Massaging each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're kind of cute. This one's especially cute. Either you guys got a car?
No.
Got a bus? Yes.
Bill's bus, the team bus.
Bigger than a car.
Oh, much bigger and more fun, really, because he's a party meister himself.
I'm the driver.
And why don't we start in a bus?
Why don't we try the bus?
Let's try the bus.
Show you the bus.
Any left?
The catcher gathers up the bottles.
A good place to start the evening off. You're gonna love this. We got a big screen TV. Well, we haven't got it yet. We got a space for a big screen TV. I think you're gonna like it.
Rudy and the Camden base runner arrive with some other guys.
Hi, guys.
They stare Monty down.
Rudy! Hi, Rudy, buddy!
Noticing, an employee hurries to a payphone.
Get in the car before I twist your head.
I didn't do anything wrong, baby. They tried to pick us up.
Bullshit! Shut up! You two, get in the goddamn car!
Don't want to get in the car.
Hey, I wouldn't do that.
Rudy!
Hey! Butt out, Gregon!
Let's go, guys.
I got a real push in your face.
Yeah, please. This torch, he's on J Street. You better send somebody down here. There's going to be a fight.
Rudy punches Monty onto a table, then a free-for-all breaks out. Monty trades punches with one man, then takes swings at two more. The blonde fan breaks a chair over the catcher's back, then he slugs the base runner. Now at a jail, a janitor pushes a mop bucket past two cops playing cards. Monty and the catcher sit in a cell.
Why is it when there's trouble, we're the ones that get into it? I mean, there's a bar full of people. We're the only ones in jail.
I don't think it's racial, you know, because I'm in here with you.
That's comforting.
One of the police officers opens the cell door for the Bulls manager.
Hiya, fellas.
Charlie.
Hey, Charlie.
Look, I don't know what to say, but I guess this is it.
Charlie, we apologize. Now cut the speeches and get us out of here, please.
I can't do it, kid. The front office is washing its hands of you two. There's no money for bail, no money for your fines. They just gave the both of you your unconditional releases.
That's just great. Do they know what they're talking about? We got one game left. If we win today, we're in the playoffs.
It's simple. They don't want you guys. Next year, they're going with the college draft choices. New talent, young kids. Hey, look at it this way, Brewster. You're lucky. You got to be a pro ball player for 15 years. That's a lot more than most people get. I'll see you.
Charlie leaves and the cop closes the cell door. Another officer pops his head from a room labeled Municipal Court.
Brewster and Nolan.
Okay, you bozos are up to bat. In here. Let's go.
An officer taps Nolan on the shoulder. Getting up from a bench, the portly catcher follows Monty along a corridor. Monty removes the H ball cap and stares anxiously as they arrive in the courtroom.
Don't worry about a thing. I'll take care of everything. I know this kind of stuff.
Don't mess up.
Just smile.
They approach the judge's bench. Jake sits in the gallery.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Brewster and Mr. Nolan, you are charged with assault and battery, resisting arrest, and destruction of private property. How do you plead, guilty or not guilty?
Oh, guilty, but with a real good excuse. You're going to love it. I think everyone here will.
I plead innocent.
You see, Your Honor, what you have here with Mr. Brewster and myself is a couple of, well, local heroes, really. We play for a local team here. You might have seen us, the Hackensack Bulls. Perhaps you know the Go You Bulls Go.
Let's not waste the court's time. I have depositions here from over a dozen eyewitnesses.
Your Honor, we went into the bar to have a drink, and we saw this nice lady. And we asked her to sit with us to have a drink. I didn't know she had a fiancé.
Who knew?
Did you know?
I didn't know.
No, I didn't know either.
It wasn't public knowledge.
So you were making advances to a woman who was clearly involved with another man.
You see, if you don't make calls, you don't make any sales.
This man does not represent me, Your Honor.
I would remove that from the court records. I would.
I'm going to set your bail at $3,000.
Not bad.
We don't have $3,000, Your Honor.
We don't.
Bailiff, will you remove the prisoner's next case?
Don't do
Your that. Your Honor, wait, please, before you send us to jail. Look, I tried to defend myself. The man hit me first.
Hey,
with the permission of the court.
My name is J.B. Donaldo. And I am representing parties who wish to remain anonymous at this time and who have instructed me to post bail for the defendants or pay any fines levied in case they plead guilty, which I'm sure they will now do.
Who is he? It's the scout.
Don't
I told you they want me. They want me. We're going to the big time.
This is it.
So where to, J.B.?
New York!
The Met.
Now, seen from above, a light-colored convertible cruises across a suspension bridge. The view glides upward, taking in looming high-rises of the New York skyline. Heavy traffic chokes a city street. Driving Monty and Nolan, Jake parks the convertible. The three of them walk towards a huge office building. Inside, Nolan studies the directory of tenants starting with the letter M.
I know it! There's no meth in here! Wait a minute! Don't go in there! There's no meth in this building!
I never said anything about the meth. Mr. Brewster did. I was just hired to find him and bring him here.
This guy's not a scout. He's a cop, Bonnie. That's what he is. He's a cop. Look at him! Look at those cheap cop shoes! Cop face, cop hat, cop shirt, cop eyes. Bonnie, the meths don't want you, all right? Hell, the Hackensack Bulls don't even want you.
Look. I ain't supposed to tell you this, but here's who hired me. Granville and Baxter. As far as I know, they got nothing to do with the Mets.
He shows a business card.
This one looks great.
Now they exit an elevator. Approaching a receptionist, Monty doffs his cap.
Mr. Yankees.
Mr. Brewster?
Right.
We've been expecting you.
The arm's okay.
I beg your pardon?
The operation was a success. The arm's 2 years old now.
Follow me, please.
Wait for me!
While Monty follows her, Jake and Nolan take a seat. They both grab for the same magazine, but Nolan snatches it away. Jake slouches, pulling his hat brim over his eyes. Then Nolan tosses the magazine aside, out of reach. As Monty and the receptionist enter a conference room, three men get to their feet.
Mr. Rooster's here.
Mr. Rooster?
Yes.
I'm Ed Brownfield. This is Mr. George Granville, Mr. Norris Baxter.
Hi.
How do you do?
Perhaps you'd better sit down, Mr. Brewster. What I'm about to tell you may come as quite a shock.
No, sir, I don't want to sit down. I want to hear this standing up.
Have you ever heard the name Rupert Horn?
Rupert Horn? No. I bet he's someone high up in the Yankee organization, right?
I'm afraid not, Mr. Brewster. Rupert Horn was your great uncle.
What's that got to do with baseball?
Rupert Horn quarreled with his family back in the 30s. He went out west. They never heard from him again. They thought he was dead. But he didn't die until last month. And by then, he was one of the richest men in America.
And he bought a baseball team, right?
No, oil and real estate. And you, Mr. Brewster, are the sole living heir of your great uncle Rupert Horn.
I think it's only fair to tell Mr. Brewster about the conditions of the will.
An elderly man appears on a film projector screen.
Brewster, greetings from the grave. Don't look so surprised. Didn't you know your great-grandfather was a honky? The old man married twice. One wife white, produce me. One wife black, produce your grandmother. Checkered family, you might say. I've outlived them all, except you. They tell me you're my only living relative, Brewster, and I gotta say I'm very disappointed. Look at you. What have you made of yourself? A failed baseball player. I believe in being honest, Brewster. No bullshit. I'm stuck with you. But we're gonna have some fun.
Struggling for air next to a nurse, Rupert places an oxygen mask to his face.
Let me tell you a little story, Brewster. When I was 7 years old, my daddy caught me smoking a cigar. Locked me in the broom closet for 3 days and three nights with nothing but a box of cigars and a book of matches. No food, Brewster. No water, just those goddamn cigars. Wouldn't let me out until I finished every last one of them. Taught me one hell of a lesson. I'm going to do to you what my daddy did to me. I'm going to teach you to hate spending money. I'm going to make you so sick of spending money that the mere sight of it will make you want to throw up. So, here's my proposition. You have 30 days in which to spend $30 million. If you can do it, you get $300 million.
There's got to be a catch.
Of course there's a catch. You have to spend the $30 million. But after 30 days, you're not allowed to own any assets. No houses, no cars, no jewelry. Nothing but the shirt on your back. So it sounds easy, don't it? Well, you'll find out.
He brushes off the nurse.
You can hire anybody you want, but you got to get value for their services. You can donate 5% to charity, and you can gamble another 5% away. But you can't give this money away, and that includes buying a Hope Diamond for some bimbo as a birthday present. Oh, I know what you're thinking, Brewster. You'll buy yourself a dozen Picassos and use them for firewood, right? Wrong. You must not destroy what is inherently valuable. That's instant disqualification. Oh, yeah, I almost forgot. You're not allowed to tell anybody why you have to spend this money.
Why can't I tell my friends?
Because I don't want anybody to help me out. Nobody helped me out in that closet with those cigars. I never had any friends. Well, Brewster, what do you think? You got the balls for it?
Monty shrugs.
I doubt it. That's why I put a special wimp clause in my will. You can have $1 million right now and forget the whole thing. Or you can go for the big one, Brewster. The $300 million. But if you fail, you don't get diddly.
The screen fades to black, then the film strip flaps on the take-up reel. Roundfield opens a latched case full of cash.
This is $1 million your great uncle spoke about.
Oh, jeez! I never seen that much money in my life.
We've investigated your background, Mr. Brewster. The highest salary you've ever had is $11,000 for one season with the Toledo Mud Hens. You've never even had a credit card in your entire life. Think of spending $1 million a day for 30 days with no assets to show for it. It's quite difficult to spend money without accumulating assets. Even when the money is spent foolishly, surely no one could blame you for refusing such an eccentric gamble.
That's good advice. Take the million. It's yours.
What happens if I don't take the $1 million and I try for the whole thing and I fail?
Granville and Baxter would gain power of attorney over the estate. They would administer it in some charitable fashion. For a considerable fee, I'm sure.
What do you think?
I don't benefit either way, Mr. Brewster. I'm a completely neutral observer.
Monty slides the case closer, then shuts it.
Bird in the hand. That's what my grandmother used to say.
After glancing at Baxter and Granville, Monty pushes the case away.
I'm going to go for the $300 million.
When you appear before us again in 30 days, Mr. Brewster, you must be totally penniless. without assets of any kind, having nothing but the receipt for your expenses and the clothes on your back. Are you certain you want to do this, Mr. Brewster?
No, sir, I'm not certain. But I'm going to have a lot of fun finding out.
Send Drake up here immediately.
Good luck to you, sir. You're due back in 30 days. Gentlemen, shall we say 12 midnight? Exactly.
We're going to assign one of our paralegals from the accounting department to keep track of your expenditures and receipts.
Does this guy Drake know about the $300 million?
All Drake knows is that you've inherited $30 million, which must be precisely accounted for. If you tell Drake the truth, you'll automatically lose the entire inheritance.
I ain't telling Drake shit. My lips are sealed. Lock them. Throw away the key like that. Hello, Drake. This is the way I'll talk. Hey, how you doing, Drake?
Miss Drake. This is Mr. Brewster, the client we briefed you about.
A young woman with glasses enters.
Oh, yes, Mr. Brewster. It's very nice to meet you.
Damn, it doesn't rain, it pours.
I beg your pardon?
The $30 million is deposited in a bank across the street, Mr. Brewster. I imagine you'd like to make sure it's real and possibly make a withdrawal.
Yeah, I'd like to make sure it's real.
Step this way, please.
Hey, good luck.
Yes, yes.
Monty shakes Baxter's hand. As he leaves, Baxter and Granville share a smug look. Outside, Monty hurries down the hall.
Spike! What's wrong?
Spike!
What's wrong?
What's wrong?
Are you all right?
Spike!
You look like you've seen a ghost.
I did, but I'm not. I'm okay. What? It's going to be great. We're going to be back on the team. Back to me. Own the team.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to be a little crazy for a while, but I'm not crazy. People are going to think I'm crazy. You stick with me. You're my buddy. Don't worry. You work here?
No, they just hired me to follow you.
Wait, look, would you like to work for more money than you ever made in your life? I mean, it's a job. It's gonna be. I gotta check out something, see if it's real first. Are you interested?
Yeah, are you kidding?
Bring your camera. And come on, we're gonna be.
What are you talking? Would you mind filling me in? What the hell is going on? What's wrong? What did they do to you in there?
What do you mean? What did they do to me? I think I just inherited $30 million.
Oh, is that all? I thought we did something wrong. $30 million. Why didn't you tell me $30 million? $30 million, you kidding me? Hey, Monty's my best friend. I mean, things like this just don't happen every day. I mean, this is incredible news. $30 million. The manager's got $30 million given to him. This is a good day, you know. We're always going to remember this day. $30 million. That makes us rich. Well, not us. It makes him rich. What a great day we're having. Me, he's having a wonderful day. But I'm having a good time, too. I'm his best friend. I don't know if I told you that or not.
Now at a bank, a vault opens to reveal three pallets stacked with cash. Monty enters the vault and gazes down at the banded stacks of $100 bills piled thigh high. Spike leans on the vault's door, open-mouthed, as he watches.
Jesus. This is real money.
Well, we're gonna have a lot of fun with this kind of money.
It is indeed, Mr. Brewster.
Now let's not be brash with our newfound money.
Right. Jake, I'd like to hire you as my official photographer. Salary, $10,000
a week. $10,000
a week?
This guy's a jerk, money.
Shut up, I accept.
Hey, hold still for the camera, Mr. Brewster.
Monty poses with Miss Drake.
Not bad for a guy who didn't finish his first year of college, wouldn't you say?
Oh, you're doing great, but I don't think you inherited me with your money, Mr. Brewster.
Needless to say, we'll be offering you the special 24% interest rate we reserve for major corporations and a few of our Arab friends.
I don't want any interest. I want it in a regular account that doesn't pay anything. After all, it's your fault. I should be paying you rent.
Very good, Mr. Brewster.
But Mr. Brewster, you'd be giving up $7.2 million a year just in interest alone.
Because I'm rich doesn't mean I should take advantage of people. Am I right?
Oh, yes. Right you are, Mr. Brewster.
I'd like to get $3 million in cash now to take it with me.
$3 million? You know how much money $3 million in cash is? You don't walk around the street with $3 million in cash. You need an army of security guards.
The man's right.
He eyes a guard.
What do they pay you here?
About $350 a week before taxes.
You can't live on that. This is a dangerous job. I'll pay you $2,000 a week to be the chief of my security.
No.
Oh, yes, that's wrong. Okay. $4,000 a week. And you get 20 other guys, and I'll pay them $3,000.
Mr. Point.
Now go in there and get the $3 million and follow me.
Yes, sir.
Everybody follow me.
You spend the money. Listen to me. This is Spike. This is your pal. You don't do things like that. You're looking for the first money for a cheaper.
Spike, Miss Drake, and Jake follow Monty into the street.
Listen to me.
What are you doing?
I'll tell you what's going on.
You don't even know those people.
Listen to me. They're going to think I'm crazy, but I'm not. You got to stick with me because this is it. This is the way we're going to beat the system.
What system?
The baseball system. You got more heart than any catcher I've ever worked with, man. And I can get anybody out for three innings. Anybody. And with this inheritance, man, this is our ticket to the big league. Do you understand?
No.
You with me?
Well, yeah.
Well, let's go.
Surrounded by security guards, they leave. Later at a baseball game.
Watch the goddamn ball, Johnson. You're not a farmer. You don't have to swing and shit in the dirt. What? Collect call from who? Switchboard says it's Brewster. Calling me from jail. Just what I need.
Only owes me $200.
Yeah, I'll accept the call.
Monty stands at a payphone.
Charlie, I'm not drunk. I'm in New York, and I just inherited $30 million. I'm about to go into negotiations to buy the team. Actually, I better rent the team.
Charlie lowers the receiver.
What kind of a crap play is that? Wilson, you idiot! You don't steal second when you're down 2 runs. Brewster, do me a favor. Go crazy on your own time and charges. This whole team's going to shit, and we're going to miss the playoffs. I ain't in the mood for no jokes.
That's why I love you, Charlie, and that's why I'm going to raise your salary, because I love your dedication. Charlie, I am going to get the team new uniforms, a team bus with air conditioning and a TV. And I'm going to arrange it so that we can play the New York Yankees.
Right, right. Okay, just tell me one thing, Mr. Millionaire. You're so rich, why are you calling me collector?
They only gave me $100 bills, Charlie. I had to rent this quarter from my accountant.
Yeah, I know. It's a big problem. Nighty-night, sweet prince.
Nighty-night, Charlie. Charlie. He doesn't believe me.
Jake backs into Spike, who shoves him. Miss Drake eyes a diamond necklace in a storefront.
Thanks for the loan of the quarter.
Wow!
Now that's really nice, see?
Oh, it's beautiful. But there is no way I can see spending over $200,000 for something you wear around your neck. You know how many hungry people that could be?
Let's go to lunch. Yo, taxi!
As a taxi pulls up, a crowd swarms behind Jake.
Who the hell is that?
Monty Brewster, the richest guy in the world, and I work for him.
Really?
How would you like to be my personal driver for the next 30 days at $5,000 a week?
You want to hire a piece of shit cop for $5,000 a week?
Cash!
What a country! America, I love it!
Mr. Brewster, you could hire a fleet of limousines for that money.
She's right, a fleet of limousines. You know where to hire limousines?
Yeah.
All right. I want you to hire me 3 of the most expensive limousines that you can find with drivers and bring the receipts and give them to Miss Drake.
Yes, sir.
We go to lunch now. Hey, everybody, anybody want to go to lunch? I'm buying.
Yeah. Guards hold the clamoring mob back.
I want to take some pictures of this.
Buzz off, pal. I'm a personal photographer.
Hey, listen, man. Fool you. This is a free country.
Jake puts a guy in a headlock. He flashes him with the camera.
Come on, Spike.
As Miss Drake and Monty get in one cab, Spike grabs another. Jake follows, shoving the other photographer away. They drive off. The onlookers hail taxis. In Monty's cab, the bank guard holds a briefcase.
What's your name?
Melvin.
Melvin? Give him $500.
Yes, sir.
Look at all that money.
You have the most beautiful eyes.
Mr. Brewster, I have been hired to keep your accounts for the next 30 days, and that's the extent of my services.
To where is our destination?
Spike's cab pulls up.
How you doing, pal?
Watch the lens!
Jump out, Spike! We need to right
let's
here.
Let's fight! We're buddies! We're all together!
How about you and Cash later, huh?
Leaning from a window, Jake takes photos. Now in an elegant restaurant, servers pour wine and coffee. While a string quartet plays, Monty faces a maitre d'. The crowd behind him includes Melvin and the bearded cabbie.
200 people at $100 a head? No, we're hungry. $200 a head. And what's the most expensive wine?
Oh, that's the Chateau Lafite 1961. It's $400 a bottle.
You guys like a feat?
Yeah!
Numerous waiters briskly carry out dishes of food. Miss Drake sits across from Monty.
Excuse me.
excuse my expression, but you think I'm a real asshole, don't you? A country bumpkin that flashes his money around like some dick shot?
I'm your accountant. I'm not your judge.
What college you go to?
I don't see that that has anything to do with anything.
Come on, give me a break. All I want to know is what college you went to.
All right. I went to Loyola.
Loyola, Chicago. I know the city, and I know the college.
Jake sneaks a wine bottle into his bag.
Want to put that back?
As Spike picks at a steamed crab, Jake returns the bottle.
And the ashtray.
Jake tosses down an ashtray.
What's with you anyway? Why don't you go sit somewhere else?
Hey, why don't you stay off my back? While you're at it, why don't you use your fork instead of your finger? That's how it's usually done.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Boss found a job for you yet, by the way? Like designated eater?
No, I don't want a job. I'm his friend.
What's that pay?
At the table, Miss Drake adds up expenses on a calculator.
Why don't you let me hire somebody to do that for you, and we could have a lot of fun tonight?
Well, that's very flattering. But I'm meeting my fiancé.
Who's the lucky guy?
Warren Cox. He's a junior partner at Granville and Baxter.
Is he a lawyer, too?
He's not just a lawyer. He's involved with the Sierra Club, the anti-nuclear movement, UNICEF. And he's a sincere feminist.
I bet. A guy like that with so many activities, where does he find the time for you?
It's hard sometimes. But we're trying to do more things together.
I'd like to meet him sometime.
He's a very busy man.
I pay him for his time.
I don't think so. I know you think you can buy up everything and everybody in the world, but I doubt that you could ever buy Warren.
This is Chuck Fleming, Action News in Midtown Manhattan. Now arriving at the Plaza Hotel is Montgomery Brewster, minor league baseball pitcher who earlier today inherited $30 million tax-free and is still celebrating.
Monty emerges from a luxury car.
Mr. Brewster, what are you going to do with all that money?
Spend it. No, just kidding. I'm forming a corporation tonight, and tomorrow morning we're going to business.
What kind of business is that, Mr. Brewster?
What kind of business? Well, as you know, my business is baseball, but since I inherited $30 million, I have to expand and branch out. I've always had a soft spot in my heart for artists and painters, writers, inventors, and I'm going to form this business, and I want everybody to get a shot. I don't care if you've been turned down 1,000 times. I'm hiring.
How many people have you hired already, Mr. Brewster?
Well, I think you should ask my senior vice president, Spike Nolan. Yeah, Spike, I'm paying him $100,000 a month. Figure that out.
$100,000 a month. Chuck Fleming! Hey, are we on the air now, Chuck?
Yes, right there.
This is working?
Yeah.
Can I say something to all the people who thought I was a loser, Chuck?
Sure.
Thanks, Chuck! Hey, Money! Money! That was Spike Nolan. He's the catcher for the Hackensack Bulls.
Inside.
Mr. Brewster, I would love to accommodate you and your friends, but the top two floors have already been reserved. They'll be occupied within the next 2 weeks.
How much are they paying?
$100,000 a week.
Wow. Mr.
Carter.
Mr. Carter. I like your hotel. My friends like your hotel. You love this hotel?
I like this hotel. I love it.
He loves it, too. Listen, I'll tell you what. For the next month, I'll pay you $1 million in cash.
Melvin opens the briefcase and piles cash on the counter.
Sign here, please.
As bystanders cheer, Miss Drake looks on incredulously. Nighttime. A New York Daily News quote scrolls over the facade of the hotel. Like I was saying, I can't speak for Monty, but speaking for myself, Monty pitches an eye catch. The money won't change us. Spike Nolan. Elevator doors open, revealing Spike wearing a stylish dark suit and a necklace with a massive ornate catcher's mask pendant. He straightens his tie, smooths his hair, and emerges.
Hey, Melvin. How they hanging, my friend?
Hey, you look good, you know, real big league.
Melvin sports his security guard uniform. Entering an ornate suite, Spike tap dances up and down a flight of steps. He shows off his pendant to Miss Drake, who sits in a chair doing calculations.
Nice, huh?
They're in the bedroom.
Thanks for your help.
In another room, two tailors measure Monty for a suit.
Money! Money, your pal! Hey, pal, get a load of this.
Get a load of
this? Huh? What do you think? I found it all in one shot, from the shoes all the way up to this. This was made for Johnny Bench. He didn't pick up, so they gave it to me. A catcher's mask. Oh, Money, I can't thank you enough.
It's, what do you think? Huh?
Hey, they just made that for you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Honest?
Honest.
Too conservative for me.
Too, what are you talking?
For me, look, this is the new Spike Nolan here.
I know, but this is great.
Well, great on you, but great is your accountant. Very nice.
Yeah, she's nice, but she thinks I'm a lowlife.
Oh, I can understand that.
Get out of here. What are you talking about? Gentlemen, do you think I'm a lowlife?
Oh, no, Mr. Brewster, not with these clothes.
See what I mean?
Ooh, and you listen to these people?
Hey, look at all the suits I got.
Now Monty sits with Miss Drake.
Now look, I know that this is none of my business, but at the rate you're going, you'll have spent your entire inheritance in less than a month, and you'll have nothing to show for it.
Excuse me, sir. There's a Mr. Warren Cox here to see Miss Drake. Mr. Cox?
Warren! How you doing? Monty Brewster! Pleased to meet you. I've heard so much about you. My God, I hear you're a swell fella. We're drinking some champagne.
Hello, dear.
Hi.
That's sweet. I'll get this. Is it raining up?
Not at the moment, but you never know.
Better safe than sorry. That's my philosophy, too. Have a drink.
Oh, thank you. No, I don't drink alcohol.
Uh-oh. We're going to be late for that benefit.
Benefit? Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's the Committee to Ban Contact Sports. Oh, well, recent studies have shown that sanctioned violence has a detrimental effect on our young people, so I do a little legal work for the committee.
You guys ain't messing around with baseball, are you?
Baseball? No, no. Boxing, football, ice hockey, you know, the truly barbaric sports.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'd like to make a small contribution, if I may.
You know, I think we're going to be very late.
Darling, this is what the benefit is for, to raise money. In a sense, we're at the benefit right now.
So am I. $100,000, okay?
$100,000? Thank you. Very, very much.
Here, have a drink.
Thank you, I will.
Warren, you don't even drink.
Well, one little sip won't hurt, dear.
That's right.
The men touch glasses.
Mm. This is a really wonderful suite you have, Mr. Brewster.
I'm glad you like it.
Yes. Oh, look at that. Two Louis XVI chairs with a good tapestry fabric. It's a nice attempt at a classic French piano. Maria Theresa chandelier. Yeah, I see what your decorator was trying to do here. There's a definite continuity to all the elements in the room. Personally, I'd have done a few things differently, but...
Mr. Cox, you know so much about all this stuff.
Well, my ex-wife Marilyn's a decorator, and I guess a lot of it rubbed off on me.
You know, you could really help me out.
How's that?
He hands Warren a second glass.
I'd like for you to redecorate my offices. I'd pay you, of course. $250,000?
I don't know what to say.
Say yes.
He fidgets.
Mr. Brewster, I'm a lawyer. I'm sure New York is full of decorators who would die for that kind of opportunity. Really, this is so out of left field, to use a metaphor from your profession.
If you think the job's too big for you to handle, just say no.
No. I mean, I'm not saying no. Not at all. I'm not saying that.
Warren, you're a lawyer. You are not a decorator.
There's nothing wrong with being a decorator. Marilyn makes a rather good living at it.
That's it.
What?
Marilyn. She could help you. I'd pay her $100,000 if that's not an insult.
Well, I'd have to ask her, of course, but I think she'd be delighted.
I mean, you were telling me how you never get to see your fiancé. This way, you get to see him every day. Just trying to be helpful.
Mm-hmm. And what about your job at the firm and our honeymoon?
Well, it would only be for a couple of weeks. A
couple of weeks?
We've got a whole lifetime for our honeymoon.
A whole lifetime.
It's been a pleasure meeting you. Monty?
Warren.
Angela wanted me to just phone up from the lobby, but no, I thought I would come up here and meet you. Mono a mono. I'm glad I did.
Warren, me too.
Let's go, Warren.
Are you leaving?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness, no. Hey, wait a minute.
He returns his umbrella.
Better safe than sorry.
Good night, Mr. Brewster.
Hey, call me Monty. Warren does. Hey, let me get the door.
Thank you.
Hey, you drive careful.
Yes.
Thank you.
I will.
Good night.
Good night.
Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you.
Monty shuts the door and faces us.
Now that was a real asshole.
Later, Warren talks to Granville and Baxter.
You want to take a month off to be Mr. Brewster's interior decorator?
I realize that it's a rather unorthodox request, sir, but it's an incredible opportunity. He actually wants me to start working for him this morning in about 20 minutes.
How much is he paying you?
$250,000, sir.
Covering his mouth with a handkerchief, Baxter leans in and whispers to Granville. Warren nervously watches as Granville nods.
Yes, we understand that kind of opportunity. I think a leave of absence can be arranged. As I'm sure you know, Mr. Horn was our most important client. And the firm is naturally concerned with how Mr. Brewster conducts himself with his inheritance. If you're in his employ, it could make it easier for us if you could act as our eyes and ears.
Absolutely. No problem. My first loyalty would always be to the firm.
Keep us posted. Oh, and don't mention this conversation to Mr. Drake or anyone else.
Oh, of course not. No. And thank you. Thank you both very much.
Now Monty exits his suite.
Good morning, Melvin.
Good morning, Mr. Brewster.
Here's the money. You think I'm crazy?
Crazy? Of course not.
Let's go do business.
Briefcase in hand, Melvin follows him downstairs where security guards hold back a clamoring mob of press people. Hangers-on fill the bustling lobby.
Hey, Monty, you got a big deal.
Okay, great. Let's do some business and kick some butt around here.
All right, let's kick some butt around here.
What?
Who the hell are you? Who the hell am I? I'm Marty King, King of the Mimics, that's who. Anything you say, I guarantee it'll be repeated. I'm like an Xerox machine.
No, Warren, hold it. Hold it more to the left.
Your left or my left?
Oh, look, there's Warren. That must be Marilyn. Hey!
You just watch your mouth. You just watch your mouth.
Boy, don't you remember anything I ever taught you?
Warren holds a fabric swatch.
It's always my left. It's the decorator's left.
Monty pokes her butt.
Watch out!
She backs into Warren, who falls from a file cabinet to the floor. Miss Drake helps him up.
Oh, be careful.
Hi, I'm Monty Brewster.
Monty Brewster? How do you do? I've heard so much about you. Please, may I call you Monty?
Of course.
Of course.
Monty, I have the most wonderful idea for you. I am going to do for you a postmodern fantasy in here.
Oh, I knew this was a terrible idea.
What are you saying? You don't like the postmodern fantasy look?
Shut your eyes and see.
Yes.
Mesopotamia.
Mesopotamia.
Meeting Busby Berkeley.
Yes, it sounds... Yes. It's a knockout.
We're going to knock out the walls, too.
Everyone.
Everywhere.
Spare no expense.
Will you shut up?
It's only for a month, darling.
You didn't see that. It's going to be a very long month.
Get four sets.
Wonderful. Fine. Angela, please. I need to speak to you. Please.
Miss Drake turns.
Angela, did Warren tell you that I have decided, as my wedding gift to you two, I'm going to decorate your apartment for free?
That's great, Marilyn. Thank you.
Pas de quoi?
Angela nods.
Mr. Brewster, I believe in manicures. I'd love to do your pedicures. I'd like you to do it. Choke this guy.
Spike puts King in a headlock. A man points to a globe.
Call your attention to this area right here. This is the Arabian Desert. It is as dry as a bone. It's a place where a glass of ice water can cost you as much as $5 a glass, sir. Now, up here, this is the North Pole. It's an ice floe, and floating randomly throughout this entire region of the North Atlantic are many, many icebergs, sir, and nobody owns them. They're PDIs. Public domain icebergs. I think you're beginning to recognize how very simple and pure this idea is.
He shows the model.
What I would like to do is go to the North Pole, select a good sized iceberg, and simply dig out a chamber from the rear end of it, drop in two 20,000 horsepower marine diesel engines, and sail. Ah, Brewstersburg, number one, to Mecca. What do you think, sir?
The model moves.
I don't know what to think.
Monty answers a desk phone.
Hello? Yes?
What?
It went up. We'll sell it.
Don't sell it. You buy it when it's like that.
It's a great idea. What's your name?
Luther.
Luther. Listen, I'd like to bet on every long shot in every race, 50-1 and over, this week at Aqueduct.
For the week, five. Oh, yeah, I can cover it.
Great. How much would it take to get this off the ground?
Oh, no. This thing melts, and he knows it.
We would experience a loss of only 18% through evaporation and melting on the entire trip.
Hey, think of what that means to all those thirsty Arab farmers. It's great.
What thirsty Arab farmers?
There aren't any. There just aren't any, because there's no farmers in the desert, Bonnie.
Well, I think that's unfair. Loyola versus Notre Dame in a field hockey game.
He has a newspaper.
You went to Loyola, didn't you?
You gotta be kidding.
Listen, I want to bet $50,000 that Loyola wins.
$50,000 on Loyola over Notre Dame and $5,000 on every 50-1 long shot for the week, sir. You are down.
For what? It's field hockey.
$50,000.
If I gave you $1,000,000 for this iceberg thing, would that be enough?
Hey, $1,000,000. Yeah, that would be great, sir.
Hello?
Brewster!
Charlie! How you doing, my man?
All right.
It's great. I just bought an iceberg.
What?
Wait till you see the uniforms
I
rented.
Not yet.
And I rented our home stadium.
What?
Yes, and I'm going to spare no expense and fix it up and make it look like a big league stadium, man. It's going to be great because we're going to play an exhibition game with the Yankees. 3 innings.
The Yankees?
And I'm pitching.
What's going on?
I got to get these guys on the bus.
Charlie, don't take the bus.
Now three helicopters fly over a waterway. In front of a marching band and assembled spectators, Chuck reports.
Chuck Fleming, Action News. I'm here at Battery Park with Montgomery Brewster and entourage, anxiously awaiting the arrival of the Hackensack Bulls in New York City for the first time to tune up for an unprecedented challenge game with the famed New York Yankees. Batsman Monty Brewster against the pitch.
Warren, Baxter, and Granville peer out from a parked vehicle. Monty waves at a descending helicopter and Spike pumps his fists. A bull mascot dances near a line of security. Monty giddily flaps his arms as the chopper touches down. In new blue and white uniforms, Charlie and the players disembark from the aircrafts.
Christ's sake, Brewster! You fly us all the way from Jersey, then you get these choppers to fly us back here. If we took the bus, we would have been here 2 hours ago.
Stop my team, but they always travel first class! Good to see you guys!
Hey, Charlie, welcome to New York City!
Monty greets the team.
You guys look great! How you like the new uniform? You gotta wait till you see the apartments I rented for you guys!
You rented apartments for these guys?
Apartments? Penthouses with swimming pools! 27 players, everybody's got their own place!
We're gonna have a lot of fun, man! We're gonna get in shape, and we're gonna beat the Yankees!
Me, they ought to lock him up for his own good. And what the hell does he think he's doing? The Yankees see this, they're really gonna rub it in.
Come on, Charlie, relax! Enjoy yourself!
Warren, Baxter, and Granville continue their surveillance from the limo.
We haven't underestimated him.
I beg your pardon? Oh, you're doing fine, Warren. This is precisely the kind of flagrant misuse of money that we want you to keep us apprised of.
Oh, he's wasting millions of dollars. You should see what he spent on the decorations alone.
Wait till you see the practice field. It's great. I'm going to have the bus take us over to the island.
The practice field's on Long Island?
Yeah.
Brewster, the airport's on Long Island. You flew us all the way in from the airport to here so we could take the bus back to Long Island?
I couldn't get the band on the runway. They wouldn't let me, no matter how much money I offered them.
Oh, yeah, you can't play baseball without a band.
Right. Come on, let's get on the bus.
On a field, the team does jumping jacks. The infielders practice turning a double play, but the basemen fail to touch their bags.
Beautiful, Benny. Tinker to Edwards to Shit. Pick it up. The white ball. That's it.
Hey, come on. Jesus, I don't know what's the matter with those guys. We play better than this. Honest, we do. I mean, maybe they're a little tired right now.
Maybe they're tired. Maybe it was that long flight you chartered for them from Newark.
I'm going to go warm up, Mr. Drake. Why don't you try to sing?
He leaves her.
Hey, come on! Look good out there! Let's do 6-4-3! Pick it up!
Various players practice their fielding skills.
Hey, Collins, you got trouble with your glove? Try catching it with your hand!
In a montage, a batter hits a lob and an outfielder catches a bounce off the wall. A newspaper reads, Bulls versus the Yanks, eccentric millionaire to finance exhibition game. Putting down her glasses, Angela dials a phone from the hotel lobby.
Hi, operator. Mr. Brewster's suite, please.
In his suite, Monty makes out with a pretty woman. Turning to look at the phone, he kisses her again, then gives her a timeout sign. Pulling away, he repeatedly kisses her hand and answers the phone.
What?
Hi, Monty. This is Angela.
Angela who?
Angela Drake.
Angela. Miss Drake.
I was wondering, could I come up there and talk to you for a minute?
Talk to me now?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps in the morning.
Oh, no, Monty. This is very important, and I need to see you now.
Lounging on the couch, the woman seductively looks at him. He blows her kisses.
Can't you tell me over the phone?
No, because look, this is something that could do both of us a world of good, if you know what I mean.
Have you been drinking?
No, not at all.
And you want to come up here to my room now?
He glances at his date eagerly.
Miss Drake?
Uh-huh.
Angela?
Yes?
Give me 5 minutes.
Okay.
He smiles to himself.
That was Miss Drake. She says there's a mad bomber in the building. They're getting all the people out of the hotel. Listen, just get your wrap. You go away and you could come back tomorrow. We could start all over.
Well, did he fall for it?
Yes, he fell for it.
What do you look so unhappy for? We're doing it for his own good.
Oh.
Come on.
Adieu.
Monty shuts the door on the woman.
I've been expecting you. The door's open. Come in. The door's open. Angela. Hello. Oh, hello, Angela. Just be cool.
Now the woman heads into the elevator.
Hi, Spike.
Hi. She's really a very nice girl. You should get to know. Hi.
Hi, Spike.
The door is open. Come in.
Spike, a man with glasses, and Angela enter.
Hi, Eugene Provost, financial advisor. A pleasure to meet you.
Who in hell is this?
He's a big league money man.
Money?
Look, for the past 5 years, this guy's predicted 88%. 88% of what this guy says makes money.
88.4% to be exact, but who's counting? I'm so confident of my ability to make you money, I will only take 15% of your profits after taxes. In other words, I only get paid if you profit from my advice.
Then you're hired. $100,000 a week plus 15%.
Monty, the man doesn't want the $100,000.
Well, the man's gonna have to take $100,000 because that's what the job pays. $100,000 a week plus 15%. What do you say?
I'll make an exception in your case, Mr. Brewster.
Good!
Sure, join the club.
Monty shakes Eugene's hand.
Hey, 9:15. It's way past your bedtime, Miss Drake.
You'll never know, Mr. Brewster.
Be sure to get home before the sun comes up. You know what I mean?
Monty flaps his arms like wings.
Good night, gentlemen.
Later in the suite, Monty pitches to Spike, who wears catcher's gear.
Come on, settle down, will you? Throw your arm out.
God damn it, she's gonna be real mad when she finds out what's going on.
Monty winds up and pitches. Spike returns the ball.
Will you forget about Angela? She's a bad investment. Now, Eugene has helped me out with my investments. You know, precious metals, some rare coins, some old stamps, stuff like that. He says it's a ledge against inflation.
Stamps.
Now on the street, the luxury car pulls up outside the storefront of Gregor & Sons. Monty exits the back seat and approaches the entrance. A security guard opens an inner door for him, then he strides up to a display counter.
Thank you, I'm just in time. Do you sell stamps?
I think that you want the stationery store across the street. The stamps we have here are very rare, very expensive.
How expensive?
Well, let me show you, Mr.
Montgomery Brewster.
Montgomery Brewster. I have been reading so much about you in the newspaper.
I'd like to see your most expensive stamp.
Ah! One moment.
Jake snaps photos of Monty from the sidewalk.
You know, I think this may be the first intelligent thing he's done with his money since he got it. Well, maybe he's coming to his senses, you know what I mean? What do you think?
Hey, I'm getting paid to take pictures. My job is not to interpret reality.
You're a real jerk, you know that? Ain't that the truth? Hey, tell it to my accountant.
As you can see, the airplane was accidentally printed upside down. Of the 100 of these stamps originally printed, this is the only known copy in existence. Baron Levitsky recently offered $850,000 for it, and I laughed in his face.
A headline reads, Monty Brewster pays 1.25 mil for rare stamp. Baxter chuckles, then Granville looks over.
I'd say the stamp he's bought is a considerable asset.
He doesn't even understand the rules yet. Let's see him get out of this one.
The receptionist enters the conference room.
Good morning, Mr. Granville.
Good morning.
Here's the mail.
Thank you.
Is there anything else that I can do for you, sir?
Oh, hold on for a minute. I may want to send you to the files.
He finds a postcard.
Norris.
Hmm?
Hackensack Bulls. Having a wonderful time. Wish you were here. Best wishes, Monty Brewster.
He checks the stamp on the postcard against the photo in the newspaper, both showing the upside-down airplane.
God, it isn't an asset anymore. He's mailed it. Get Cox over here.
Right away, sir.
The son of a bitch.
Later.
So in strictest confidence, you can see how vital it is to the firm that Brewster does not succeed in spending that $30 million warrant.
He's made a fool of you and of your ex-wife. We think he has designs on your fiancé as well.
A small error in bookkeeping discovered at the last possible moment ought to do the trick. Say a $20,000 mistake in Mr. Brewster's favor, it'll be our little insurance policy.
And the $300 million will go to the firm. Granville, Baxter, and Cox.
Welcome aboard, Warren.
A newscast.
The big story on Wall Street today is that Icebergs International, has been bought out by Wametco Petroleum in order to secure tax benefits within the common market.
Monty watches glumly, seated before the iceberg model.
Is he a genius or is he a genius?
Can't understand it, Mr. Brewster.
The stock, which was valued at 1.5, now has a par value of over $9 a share. In other news...
I want to sell my stock in the iceberg.
Sell?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that doesn't seem like a very smart thing. Mr. Brewster.
What?
You see, the parent company, Wametco, is one of the strongest organizations in the world petroleum market. And they've been consistently good performers in profits and dividends.
Yeah, you don't want to sell, Mr. Brewster. You got a lot of obligations. You got a huge payroll to meet. You got overhead, retirement plans. I mean, you don't want to lay anyone off, do you?
No, I don't want to lay anyone off.
Luther barges into the suite and empties bags of cash on the floor.
Kelly, this all there? Nothing but long shots, huh? Well, you just won yourself a cool $1.5 million, wise guy. The word is out on you. I had to lay these bets off all over town. You don't make another bet in this city again, ever.
I just...
Loyola 18, Notre Dame zilch. Thanks a lot, baby.
This is unreported income gained from an illegal venture, Mr. Brewster. Now, I would recommend that you immediately dispatch a courier to Switzerland and deposit this money in a secret numbered account.
I don't want it. I'm going to give it to charity. What's your favorite charity?
Oh, I don't know. There's so many worthwhile charities.
So many worthwhile charities. Good. Divide it up amongst the many charities and... give it to them, and everybody go back to work, because this is a business, and we're in the business of being in business, and we're doing business, and nobody's business. Do it. Business. Good. I want business done. That's the way it should be. When you do business...
Angela follows Monty out.
That was so wonderful what you just did in there. Look, I know you think I'm always complaining, but it's not that. It's just that I can't stand seeing these people take advantage of you anymore.
Miss Drake, I'm very sorry, and I appreciate what you're trying to do, but you don't know what I'm trying to do.
What are you trying to do?
What I'm trying to do is something...
Monty.
Double doors open.
Could you step in here for a moment, please?
Of course, ma'am.
Good afternoon, Angela. Hello.
Marilyn shows them into a geometric Art Deco space.
What do you think of our postmodern fantasy?
Hello, darling. Marilyn's really outdone herself this time, don't you think?
Warren.
It's good. It is very good, Marilyn. But it's not great. You see, Marilyn, I want you to reach deep down inside yourself this time and come up with something specifically unique. I want to walk in this room and say to myself, Monty, I want to die in this room. I want to die in this room, Marilyn. And double the workman's salary. I mean, they look exhausted. Help out. Come on. It's a business.
Monty walks away.
Angela, I'm not going to be able to make dinner, darling. There's just too much to be done around here.
Whatever you say, Warren.
She follows Monty.
A room you want to die in.
What
were you trying to tell me before?
Miss Drake, I don't know how to explain this to you, but even though I'm not the person that you thought I was, you see, I'm not the person that you think I am now either.
Yes, but I don't understand why when you make money, you get so miserable, and when you lose it, you act so happy.
That's because I can't get used to being rich.
But you could do great things with all that money. You mustn't just squander it.
Squandered? What are you talking about? I'm making millions. We didn't get off to a very good start, and I thought maybe this afternoon we'd take a little ride and get to know each other. You'll find out I'm not such a bad guy after all. Miss Drake, your chariot awaits.
No, Mr. Brewster, I can't accept this. This is a $125,000 car.
Hey, Eugene said I needed a tax write-off. Can't we just take a ride without having an argument? I promise not to spend any money, except on you and lunch.
All right, but just to eat lunch and then that's it.
Grinning broadly, Monty gets in the passenger seat of a shiny high-end convertible. Angela sets her purse down and sits behind the wheel.
So where should we go?
You're driving.
Oh, I know this nice little restaurant near the place where I grew up. Now, it's not fancy, but...
They get rear-ended.
Okay. Are you all right?
I think so.
You sure? Yeah.
They step outside, and a balding man in a suit gets out of the car behind them.
I'm terribly sorry. The parking attendant left my car in first, and when I turned on the ignition, it shot forward into you. Are you all right?
Yes.
Fine. But you look hurt.
Oh, honestly, I'm fine. Look. Here's my driver's license.
Hey, great! Great, don't be ridiculous. Put that away. You're in a state of shock. Emotional trauma.
What are you talking about?
Brain damage. He's got brain damage and doesn't even know it. Hey, George! Get an ambulance!
Are you all right, Mr. Brewster?
A doorman watches.
Brewster? Montgomery Brewster?
Yes, that's me.
He shows his checkbook.
I really don't feel very good. I'm starting to lose feeling in my legs.
Stop it! Can't you see this man is faking?
Faking? I can't have this on my conscience. This man's going to be paralyzed for life. Dear sir, You think you could settle this out of court for a couple of $100,000?
Two ex-wives.
Two ex-wives? $300,000?
He nods.
You go to the doctor's right away, okay?
Uh-huh.
And you're giving this for a prescription, and you'll be all right.
Thank you.
Have a good day!
The man takes the check.
Get a cold compress for that thing on your head, and a large bottle of aspirin. A nice man.
He drives off.
See, the check will be a receipt. But I'm starving. I'm ready to go to lunch now. I want to meet your family.
Meet my family?
Yeah.
What do you want to do, buy them? I would be ashamed to introduce my family to somebody like you.
Monty follows her and takes her by the arms.
Angela, will you wait a minute? I did the best I could. That wasn't that man's fault.
Yes, I know it wasn't, but the first time you get some money, what do? You spend it and show off. You just gave away $300,000.
Oh, my God.
Marilyn and Warren watch from a high window.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Oh, is that awful? I don't believe it. Oh, how tasteless. Boy, that girl is ungrateful considering all the things you've done to try to improve her.
Warren nods.
I just think this is unforgivable.
Now Warren and Angela sit in a restaurant. Warren studies her face closely.
I realize you're not very interested in what Marilyn and I are doing, but the fact is we have a real shot at getting our work into AD next month.
AD?
Architectural Digest.
Monty enters.
That's really wonderful. I'm very happy for you and Marilyn.
Are you all right?
Look, Warren, I'm not very happy with this whole situation.
You could have fooled me.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means that you and Monty seem to be getting along awfully well.
At the bar.
And give everybody else in here whatever they're drinking. Doesn't matter, champagne, anything, as long as I'm here.
Yes, sir, Mr. Brewster.
Drinks on the house, courtesy of Mr. Brewster.
Warren frowns as he sips.
Well, Monty Brewster's extravagance seems to know no bounds. After paying the highest recorded price ever for a stamp, Brewster today shelled out a record $600,000 for five cases of 114-year-old French wine. He stunned the crowd here at Weatherby's Auction House by not only paying in cash for the wine, but by opening all 60 bottles at a reception for the public afterwards. At $10,000 a bottle, that has got to be the most expensive hangover this reporter has ever heard of. Chuck Fleming, Action News.
A woman drops a hotel room key into Monty's beer mug, then saunters off. He sticks his fist in to retrieve it.
Angela?
What?
I asked if your feelings had changed.
Look, how can I make it any clearer for you? Can you please pay for the drinks and let's get out of here?
We don't have to pay for the drinks. They're on Monty.
As beer spills, Roundfield approaches.
Brewster?
Yes?
Looks like you've got a busy evening ahead of you.
Yeah, I'm too busy to have fun, though. I gotta spend money, right?
I must say, mailing that stamp was quite ingenious.
You like that? How about the wine auction?
Again, very imaginative. I understand it cost $600,000, according to Miss Drake.
Angela gets up and heads out.
There she goes again, as usual. I am sick and tired of acting like a rich asshole for everybody. I'm fed up. Maybe I should have took Uncle Rupert's whip claws. I don't think I'm going to pull this off, do you?
I don't know, Mr. Brewster, but that baseball game you're planning sounds like a step in the right direction.
Later, in his suite, Monty watches footage of himself pitching.
My left leg. See, I planted it down wrong. I was off balance.
Angela works at an adding machine.
Ooh, go ahead, Monty. Now that's the money I know. That's
it. Hi, Monty. How's it going, buddy?
Okay,
tell him the good news, Eugene.
Oh, you tell him it was your idea.
All right, I got some good news and some bad news for you.
Well, tell him the bad news first.
All right. Here's the bad news. I did exactly what you wanted me to do. I got rid of all your iceberg stocks.
That's great.
That's the bad news. You ready for the good news?
Yeah.
Okay, here it comes. I took Eugene's advice, all right? Admittedly, without you knowing, I used the corporate name. I hope you don't mind.
No.
I made a couple investments for you.
That's okay.
What did I buy? I bought a commodity thing, and I bought an oil well thing.
He just
and I
got... made you $10 million.
$10 million!
Spike kisses Eugene's comb over.
$10 million! $10 million! $10 million!
Damn it! I'm right back where I started, damn it!
Warren hesitantly lets himself inside.
Jesus.
Monty sits at his desk.
$10 million. $10 million.
What's the matter, Monty? I mean, I make the guy $10 million and he acts like it's a funeral. It's American money, you know. Congratulations. About that furniture you wanted Marilyn and me to rent, I'm afraid the company's requiring a substantial cash deposit, $20,000.
Monty takes a stack of cash from a drawer.
$20,000. Hey, don't forget.
To give Angela the receipt, I know. Have to keep those books straight, don't we, darling?
Yeah.
So long.
Spike watches Warren walk off. Warren smiles slyly to himself before shutting the door.
I'd like to be alone. By myself.
Sure, there's no problem there, Monty. You know, you're probably getting psyched up for the Yankee games. That's what he always does this, you know? He gets a little cranky like this. It's only because he's getting psyched up for a big game. You know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't for the guy, but this time we'll just leave him alone.
I don't get it.
Yeah, what the hell was with him?
I think we should consider the possibility of psychiatric help.
What are you, nuts?
20... Monty clenches his hands together. As he clicks the remote, the TV image changes from a paused video to a broadcast editorial.
With less than 2 weeks remaining until the election, this station is sorry to report that it finds itself unable to endorse either of the candidates for mayor of New York. Both Mr. Heller and Mr. Salvino have been pumping scandalous amounts of money into slick advertising campaigns that so far have demonstrated little more than their ability to slander each other and squander campaign contributions. In the view of this station, the only issue being raised by the Heller-Salvino debate is whether the city of New York is for sale and just how much slush money it will take to buy it.
Now at an event, Spike, Eugene, and Angela stop in a corridor.
Running for political office is extremely expensive unless you win, and it's unheard of to do it with your own money.
Yeah, what does he know about politics?
That is not the point. He's trying to do some good with his money. Look, I finally figured this whole thing out. That's why he gets so upset when he makes a profit, because it makes him feel guilty. He's trying to do the right thing for once in his life.
Photo portraits of Monty, Salvino, and Heller stand on a stage.
Give us your reasons for your sudden and unexpected candidacy.
I figure voting for Salvino or Heller is just as silly as them running for office, which is just as silly as me running for office. The only thing not silly is the power of the people's vote. And I think the people should use it to vote for...
Words flash on a lectern.
None of the above!
That you actually don't want anyone to vote for you?
What I'm saying is I think only an idiot would vote for me.
Mr. Brewster, have you taken positions on any of the issues facing the city? Sanitation, union corruption, urban renewal...
Let's get to the bottom line, right? I'm here to buy your votes.
With only 10 days, Mr. Brewster, with only 10 days left before the election, how do you expect to find that kind of support for that position?
I don't expect to get support. In fact, I'm asking people not to send money into my candidacy. I think the people should keep their money. They're going to need it after this election.
Now, two men push a huge roll of paper into a machine. A hand pushes a mechanical lever. Starting up, the machine begins printing countless newspapers. A headline appears, Monty's Millions to Buy Election? Another headline reads, I Want to Buy Your Vote, with a photo of Monty wearing a suit and bow tie. Now, on a soundstage, Monty addresses a camera.
Monty Brewster, that's me, right? And tonight, I'm here to talk to you about none of the above. You know how it is around election time and you decide not to vote because the two candidates are so repulsive.
Uh-huh. Repulsive's not the word.
We're all full of shit.
I didn't think you were supposed to use that kind of language on television.
Maybe he's just trying to get his point across.
Phony. I never wear a suit and a tie. Never. I mean, these are just things that politicians use to trick you into thinking that they're respectable. Well, to the politician, huh?
Monty gives the camera an up yours gesture. People grab newspapers with the headline, Mayor Monty. Brewster campaign posters fill up a wall showing Monty giving two thumbs down. Billboards and posters appear throughout the city. Now Granville and Baxter walk a corridor.
Prime time on every station?
Worse than that, he's on network. He's running spots in all 52 states just in case any New Yorkers are on vacation.
Right in. None of the above on your ballot. Don't vote for any of us. We're assholes. We'll only make things worse. Let's drink to it.
Monty takes a sip of beer on camera. In the vault, more and more of Monty's cash disappears, leaving one pallet half empty. At an event, people wait in a buffet line. Clad in hats that say, Vote for Brewster with a red line through vote, the band plays. In the crowd, Chuck Fleming interviews an attendee. An elderly woman takes a sip from a beer bottle. Clasping his raised hands overhead, Monty smiles at Angela and Spike beside him. Jake snaps photos of Monty. The frenzied crowd waves hats and placards.
I want to thank you for coming out today to see to it that neither my opponents nor me win the election! I want to ask the question.
Monty raises his index finger.
Who's buying the booze?
You!
With a gleeful smile, Monty looks out on the sea of faces and pumping fists. A printing press spits out countless copies of newspapers with Monty on the front page. At her desk, Angela calculates totals. On a red LED display, steadily decreasing dollar amounts glide by, starting at more than $23 million. Standing beside the blinking lights of a room-sized computer mainframe, Angela studies a printout. The LED ticker shows just over $18 million as a monitor displays itemized expenses, from security guard salaries to iceberg search and retrieval.
Well, you can call it outrageous, you can call it a breath of fresh air, but what you can no longer call it is a joke campaign. The eccentric multimillionaire Montgomery Brewster is electrifying crowds and is starting to show up in the polls. All this reporter can say is, I hate to see what he could do if he was serious.
Monty pitches a newspaper which spins into focus, its headline reading, Bring on the Yanks. As Angela continues her calculations, a view of the vault shows one pallet completely empty while another dwindles by two-thirds. Cash rains down in slow motion from above. Another headline reads, Brewster campaign glut. Behind her glasses, Angela's eyes widen. Now in an underground garage, a limo pulls to a stop. A man exits and opens the rear door. In the dim light, Heller steps out. As he approaches a second car parked across the way, a man in a trench coat steps forward. It's Salvino.
So, what do you want to talk about?
What do I want to talk about? Your people called my people.
Bullshit! Your people made the first move.
What's the difference? We both got the same problem.
Brewster.
Yeah, no kidding. You heard what he said about us in his speech yesterday. Here, I'll quote it for you.
Heller pulls out a news clipping.
Heller and Salvino are both just a couple of overgrown wharf rats. Why else would anybody spend $10 million to get a $60,000 a year job unless he planned to steal it back with interest? And you and I are going to sue him for every cent he's got.
It's very good, Heller. Very good.
Now a newspaper printing press runs. A headline reads, Brewster slams opponents, while a second proclaims, Heller-Salvino file lawsuit. A third reads, ouch, huge Brewster payoff near. Then a fourth asks, wharf rats in City Hall? A delivery man tosses a stack of newspapers with the headline, Brewster settles. Press follow Monty outside a courthouse.
Well, it's not been a busy morning.
I called him a couple of overgrown wharf rats, and I had to pay him $4 million for the emotional damage it did.
You don't have to talk to these guys, Monty.
What do you think of your opponents now, Mr. Brewster?
I think they're slime, and you can quote me on it.
Don't quote him on that, please. You didn't mean anything by that.
Any prediction on the game this afternoon, Brewster?
Wait, I'm taking that game more serious than I am this election, I can tell you that.
Can we take anything you say seriously, Mr. Brewster?
That's like that old saying, if bullshit were money, I'd be a millionaire. Well, I'm a millionaire.
He gets into his car as Spike hangs back. Monty and Angela ride in back.
Oh, God, you must be so nervous about this game today. You put everything into it.
Not everything, but a lot. I mean, this is my big day. I'm pitching against the New York Yankees. I can get any team out for three innings, any team.
Later.
Good afternoon, sports fans. And the New York Yankee Baseball Network is on the air. We've got a special edition of Yankee Baseball, a special three-inning exhibition game between the New York Yankees and, are you ready for this, the Hackensack Bulls?
I know the New York Yankees. You know how many years I sat around listening to you guys complaining about you never get your shot? Well, the day we get our shot, there's going to be sports writers out there. Newscasters, TV, radio. Johnson, you're 26 years old, right? You got a great glove, perfect swing. But if you don't show your stuff out there today, nobody's ever going to know it, man. Hey, you guys, let's go out there and kick it off.
Monty and his teammates leave the locker room.
and the Hackensack Bulls take the playing field.
As Monty watches the Yankees from the dugout, Charlie comes over.
Well, what a great speech you made, Brewster. I know you got something to prove. Please, don't try to show these guys up.
Various players in pinstriped uniforms take warm-up swings. Monty steps onto the mound and scratches at the dirt with his foot, then windmills his throwing arm. Angela watches from the stands near Melvin and Jake.
Monty looks so tiny out there. Those Yankees look so big. Can he get hurt?
Nah, this ain't football. All they're gonna do is take him and his fastball, dent some cars out in the parking lot.
I better move my limousine.
As a train decked out with campaign decorations passes, Monty waves his cap.
That'll be a bomb!
Hear this crowd go crazy. That's for Montgomery Brewster, that financial world wizard who came on the scene not long ago and continues to thrill and delight the fans of this stadium.
That'll be a bomb!
Monty catches the ball, then the Yankee leadoff man turns to Spike.
Hackensack Bulls, huh?
That's name.
Robbie digs in and we're underway. Monty Brewster peers in at his sign, kicks in the first pitch.
Is that his changeup?
No, that was his fastball.
Breaking ball, I guess you'd have to call that his changeup, hey, Biff?
Monty winds up and pitches. The batter hits a line drive while the diving Johnson catches at third base.
Swing on, it's a hot shot. Mr. Rough and Ready, Ken Dixon stepping in for the Yanks, Biff.
Dixon's reputation as a tough competitor is almost legendary by now, Vinny.
Hey, Ken Dixon, man. It's a pleasure to be on the same field with you, Mr. Dixon. I admire your work. You're a great hitter.
Pitcher of yours sure thinks he's cute, don't he?
He sure does. Hey, you had a great season this year, Mr. Dixon. I saw that game in Boston right back in June, was it?
Saw that game?
Yeah, I saw that game.
Monty delivers the pitch.
Oh, I tell you, great game. Two home runs, a triple, six rubies all told. I can't believe you didn't make the All-Star team.
I didn't believe it either.
Monty releases the ball and Dixon swings. Monty, Spike, and Dixon gaze skyward. Monty sighs with relief.
Come on, Monty, keep it in there, keep it in there.
Monty stares, unblinking, then starts into his stance.
Hey, Dixon, I saw your wife on television, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, she sure is an ugly bitch.
Thanks.
Hey, I'm
ugly. The umpire gets in between the two.
Exchange. It looks like this game may have some real spirit after all, Biff.
Spike faces the Bulls dugout and shrugs. Another Yankee batter walks over.
One word out of you, fat boy, and you eat your mask. You ain't gonna talk to me the way you did, Dixon.
Hey, can I help it if a guy can't take a joke? Besides, have you ever seen his wife?
Yeah, ugly bitch.
There's a warm drive at the deep center field. Sharp or back.
The Bulls' center fielder leaps and makes the catch.
But Mike Sharp with a brilliant leaping catch.
In a furniture warehouse, Warren walks up to a counter where employees watch the game.
Warren Cox, I believe you were expecting me.
Oh, yeah, right. The refund.
Yes, $20,000. That's the receipt.
Yeah, I'm glad to get rid of it. Don't like having that kind of money around here, if you know what I mean. Didn't make the boss too happy, though. He got all bent out of shape when he found out Mr. Brewster didn't like the furniture he got.
Oh, yes, it's a pity. But he has no taste.
Warren counts an envelope of money.
Oh, by the way, how's the big game coming?
Bulls are ahead one zip. Top of the third, but they're really starting to hit him.
Right.
Warren steps away.
No.
Back in the stadium. A fly ball clears the wall in center field.
Ken Dixon driving one out of here, a grand slam home run, and the Yankees win it 4-1. Listen to that scattered applause here in Hackensack. Sounds more like a death knell. Ken Dixon,
Touching home plate, Dixon high-fives his three-run scoring teammates along with a Yankee in the batter's box.
That is true Yankee baseball there, my friend. And New York Yankee power has burst the balloon over Hackensack, New Jersey. And wouldn't you know that the Bronx Bombers would be the bad guys.
Woo, bye.
The digital scoreboard reads Yankees 4 runs, Bulls 1 in the top of the third inning. Charlie approaches Monty.
Gotta take you out, kid.
His gaze downcast, Monty drops the baseball in Charlie's open palm.
You just got lucky, that's all, Monty.
Monty stares forlornly.
Hey, you did good, Brewster, real good. I'm proud of you and all the guys. Hey, what the hell? This is the New York Yankees.
Monty starts walking off the field. While he heads for the dugout, Charlie tosses the ball from hand to hand, and Spike punches his fist in his mitt. Now Monty heads up a short flight of stairs. He trudges through the locker room, a dejected look on his face. He tosses his jacket and glove into a locker. Roundfield enters. He watches Monty take a seat on a bench, rubbing his forearm.
That was a valiant effort. Your Uncle Rupert would have been proud of you.
Thought my Uncle Rupert didn't like losers.
Mr. Brewster, I don't think you're a loser.
It's the money you're worried about. Don't. I only have $38,000 left. I'll spend that tonight in my sleep.
Yes, but unfortunately, it looks like you could win this election. The job carries a $60,000 annual salary, which I regret to say would be considered an asset by the terms of the will.
Back on the field.
Okay, here are the final totals. For the Yankees to win it, 4 runs on 4 hits.
Wait a minute. You might have something going on here.
It looks like Brewster's going to address this crowd of folks. Kill the commercial, fellas. We're going to stay right here.
Monty approaches a mic.
I'd like to take a hand to the Yankees. Anybody can inherit millions of dollars and buy self an election. But it takes a real athlete to be a professional baseball player. And that's what all these gentlemen here are today. Real professionals.
Spike claps along with his Bulls teammates. In the bleachers, Melvin and Angela applaud.
See, the election was supposed to be a joke. I didn't expect anybody to vote for me. I didn't think anybody would take me serious. I thought none of the above was a pretty good idea. I don't want to be mayor. I never did.
Angela stares, her lips parted.
How about that, Biff? Monty Brewster is withdrawing from the election.
It's not all downhill. I mean, I still got $38,000 left. I'm going to throw a party tonight back at the hotel in New York. And you're all invited.
The view irises out on Monty's face. Now, a fountain of a female figure from antiquity stands in front of high-rises. Text scrolls. Out of politics, out of baseball, can Monty Brewster's road of excess lead to the Palace of Wisdom? Chuck Fleming, Action News. On a calculator, one number subtracts from another, leaving a difference of 25,735. Angela checks the document, then types 1,179, and the display now reads 0. She marks a 0 in her ledger. Dressed in a dark suit and bow tie, Monty enters the room. Angela notices him.
Hi. I thought I'd find you here. Listen, since Warren's not around, I thought maybe I could escort you to the party.
Monty, I'm real sorry about you retiring from baseball. I know how much it meant to you.
That's all right. I mean, it happens to everyone sooner or later. That's the nature of the game.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's anything left here for me to add up, so I guess this is goodbye.
Goodbye? Don't you want to go to the party?
Oh, no. I couldn't stand another one. And if you want to know the truth, I don't see what you could possibly be celebrating unless you think it's okay to squander $30 million.
I don't. I just think maybe it was a phase I was going through.
She turns away.
Listen, tomorrow things will be different. I won't be like this anymore.
Come tomorrow, you are dead broke. It's all over. You don't even have a job playing baseball anymore. And what do? You throw a party with your last $38,000.
Listen to me. I pissed off so much money, I figured, what difference does $38,000 make?
Oh, how dare you. That's more money than a lot of hard-working people earn in a year. You better get your values together, because you're going to need them.
Why don't you wait until tomorrow? And then you'll know what this is all about.
Just forget it, okay? And I hope you have fun at that party, because that's all you got left.
Giving him a last look, she storms out.
I love you.
Now, in a banquet hall, a lone couple dances to a big band clad in tuxes. A photographer gazes around. A view glides past floral centerpieces and displays of fresh fruit. Seated by himself, Monty sips a drink. Bustling waiters pass the near-empty tables, and portraits of Monty adorn the room's walls. Jake examines a wine bottle. Followed by Eugene and Spike, Melvin approaches. Cash fills his guard's cap.
Mr. DiNola, we're accepting contributions for Mr. Brewster since he's currently insolvent.
Yeah, Del Nato, put some money in here now.
I didn't bring my wallet, guys. I thought this was a free party.
I see. Too bad.
What do you do with your money? Put it in tin cans?
You got it, big boy. This gravy train ain't gonna run forever.
Spike seizes Jake.
Whoa, what's this?
He grabs his wallet.
Well, thank you very much. This is generous of you. Very generous. I'm gonna put you on my Christmas card list.
He places the whole wallet in Melvin's cap.
How about a glass of champagne, Mr. Brewster?
How about a bottle of champagne?
As you wish.
I'm gonna get drunk.
Monty? Monty? Good news, pal. Good news.
Mr. Brewster, I want you to know I think you're a hell of a nice man, and we took up a collection for you. I mean, you've paid us all so much money, we feel bad now that you're broke. So,
Jesus.
Would you take this money, please?
I really appreciate this, you know, but you know me. I'll just spend it. I can't take it.
Brother, would you take the money, please?
I can't.
Just take the money.
No.
Spike pulls him aside.
I know. You don't want charity. It ain't. Forget the charity. Forget that. I was going to save this for a rainy day. I'll tell you now. It's raining. Look, with the exception of a few nice suits that I bought, I saved almost every penny you gave me. Now, I got an idea. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to buy a Corvette. We're going to drive across the country, go to, let's say, the Rocky Mountains. We'll buy a cabin there. We'll go fishing every day. We'll fly in women every other day.
Spike, you're beautiful, man. You are. But you don't know. See, tomorrow...
Yeah?
I almost let the cat out of the bag, Uncle Rupert.
What are you talking about?
See, I can't tell my closest friend, because my Uncle Rupert's a son of a bitch.
Why? What are you saying?
Hey, it's supposed to be a party. It's a party. Why come everybody ain't dancing, having a good time? I mean, what, somebody die? I gotta get full value for my money.
Hey, you heard him.
Jake grabs his wallet.
Hey, he doesn't want it. Did you really spend all that money?
Monty nods. Spike hugs Monty.
Nice friend I turned out to be. You give me all that money for what? So I can play catch with you?
Spike, you don't understand. Nobody understands. I don't even understand anymore. And I am sick of money. I'm gonna take this, and I'm gonna get tore up.
Raising a champagne bottle to Spike, he walks away. Spike leans on the bar, rubbing his hands together.
Give me a few bottles of what he's drinking, all right?
As the band plays on, a couple slow dances. At a table, a man smokes a cigarette while a woman groggily rests her head on her hand. As the night goes on, water droplets melt off an ice sculpture. The view comes to rest on a portrait of a smiling Monty clad in his baseball uniform. The next morning, he wakes up face down on his bed, clutching a bottle. Across the room, the tailors busy themselves transferring garments from the closet to a clothes rack. Monty lifts a hand to his forehead, then sits up to find Carter entering the suite.
It's after 3, Mr. Brewster.
He checks his watch.
Checkout time? I'm afraid you'll have to leave now.
Like I always said, Mr. Carter, you're a real nice man.
Carter turns away and a tailor gazes over.
I believe everything you're wearing belongs to us, Mr. Brewster.
I almost forgot.
Just the clothes on my back. That's what they said. Piss off $30 million. Makes a lot of sense, Uncle Rupert.
You asshole.
He takes off his suit coat and pants.
I'm gonna recommend your shop to all of my friends. You lease some great clothes. All of them. Keep this too.
He flings his Don't Vote for Brewster boater hat at them. A tailor removes the suit from the closet, leaving one last article of clothing, the Cubs jersey. Gazing keenly, Monty focuses on the pinstriped garment. Walking out of the suite in jeans and the jersey, he dons the Hackensack Bulls H cap. Stepping back, he takes a final glance at the door of the suite before stepping away. He heads downstairs, hands in pockets. Opening a glass door, he enters another room. He finds himself in the redesigned postmodern room. In a simple layout, four desks sit at the edge of a large white circle in the rug. He takes his place on the red circle in its center. Walking by, Marilyn notices him.
Monty? Well, hello. I hardly recognized you. It's ready, sir. What do you think? Do you like it?
Marilyn, this is the room I could die in.
Oh, thank God. I'm so glad. Okay, boys. Take it all back.
Several dozen workers stream through double doors and begin taking furnishings out. Marilyn and Monty share a look.
Wish you had the dough to keep it, Mom.
He tips his cap to her. In the hotel lobby, Monty steps from an elevator. A couple in evening wear glances at him and shrugs. Now on the sidewalk.
Taxi cab, Mr. Brewster?
George, I can't afford it now. Out of money.
You'll never guess who I voted for this morning.
None of the above.
That's good.
Monty gives a thumbs up. George salutes. Monty crosses the street toward a plaza. At night, a neon billboard flashes, huge upset in today's election. Hiller and Salvino lose to none of the above.
This is Chuck Fleming in Times Square. Well, that news flash tells it all. To add to the confusion of today's events, former candidate Montgomery Brewster, who withdrew from the campaign only yesterday and apparently now dead broke, checked out of his luxury hotel a few hours ago wearing the same baseball jersey and cap he had on 30 days ago. Where is he now? Nobody seems to know. We followed his roller coaster ride of success and failure for the last 30 days, and now it would seem to be over. But those of you following the election results know that that's not so. Well, if you're out there, Monty, turn on a radio or a TV set or pick up a newspaper. I think you might be proud of what's happened in this city today. Chuck Fleming, Action News.
Now, approaching the glass facade of the office building, Monty checks his watch, then pushes the turnstile door. In the lobby, he pushes the elevator button. As he enters, Warren hurries over and joins him.
Oh, Monty, just the man I wanted to see.
I've got wonderful news for you, Monty.
Wonderful news. Do you remember the $20,000 that you gave me as a deposit on the furniture? Well, here it is. You're not broke after all. Isn't that fortunate?
In the conference room.
3 minutes.
I'm sorry to say this, Roundfield, but our records indicate Brewster still has a substantial amount of money.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Roundfield flips through a notebook. A cleaning lady stands near the elevator as the doors open.
Oh, I can't believe it. I quit.
Warren watches Monty. Turning off lights, Angela exits her office. As Monty enters the conference room, cash in hand, Roundfield, Granville, and Baxter rise.
I guess I didn't do so good. I still got $20,000 left. Look, I know I lost and everything. So I'll sign what you want me to sign and I'll get out of here.
Give him the quick claim papers. Use my pen.
Warren observes from outside.
Mr. Brewster, you still have 2 full minutes.
2 full minutes for what?
I blew it. I'm burnt out.
Clutching a receipt, Warren eagerly checks his watch.
Warren, what are you doing?
Shh, he's about to sign it all away. What are you doing here?
I'm walking late closing out Brewster's account. Sign what away?
Shh. I guess I can let you in on it now. In a few seconds, I'm going to be a full partner just as soon as he signs that paper. See, the reason that he blew the $30 million was so that he could get his real inheritance of $300 million.
You mean he had to spend all that money? Well, why didn't he tell me?
Oh, it was a condition of his great-uncle's will. He had to keep it a secret.
Well, if it's such a big secret, how come you know all about it?
I'm afraid that, too, is a secret.
Uh-uh. He did spend that money. I have all the receipts.
Maybe you're not as thorough as you think you are. Remember the Dawson and Clark account? Fine custom furniture and draperies?
She grabs the receipt.
No, give me that!
Monty, stop! Don't sign anything!
Miss Drake, this is a private meeting.
Leave or you'll be fired. Sign right here, son.
Warren cheated and these two put him up to it. He purposely withheld a $20,000 deposit so that Monty would think he'd already spent it.
I just forgot to give her the receipt, that's all. It was a perfectly honest mistake.
Gentlemen, is there any truth to this accusation?
Totally preposterous. We're completely innocent. You are fired, Miss Drake.
The clock reads nearly 12.
My lucky day, huh, Warren? You're my pal, right? You're a liar, Warren! You tricked me! Set me up!
Oh, no, no, not at all. That was just a coincidence.
Hey, you're a terrible liar, Warren, and an awful decorator.
Well, it's better than being a couple of rabbits.
What are you insinuating?
You're a big girl. You figure it out.
She raises her hand.
Hold it, sister. Take it easy. You're a lady. I want you to remain a lady.
Oh, that's excellent advice, Mr. Brewster, but a little late, don't you think?
Yeah!
Monty punches Warren, who scurries backward along the floor.
I'm glad you did that, Brewster, because I'm going to sue you for so much money that you're going to be in debt to me for the rest of your life.
How'd you like to settle out of court right now for $20,000 in cash?
Oh, you think I came down with the last drop of rain? I'm not falling for that trick. No settlements. I'm going to take you to court, Brewster. What are you going to do about that?
Monty makes a fist.
When that clock strikes 12, you are dead broke for life. You're a loser, Brewster. A real loser.
I'm going to need an attorney, Miss Drake. Would $20,000 be enough of a retainer?
But I'm just a paralegal. I don't have a degree yet.
You can get a degree with $20,000. It's just an advance.
You need a receipt.
Yes.
Warren's jaw drops.
I'll give you a receipt.
She scrambles to the desk.
Please. Hurry. Your desk. Come on.
She frantically scrawls on a paper. Monty hands Roundfield the paper.
As the executor of your great-uncle's will, I hereby declare that the full inheritance of $300 million is yours. Congratulations. Gentlemen, I sense conspiracy to defraud here. I'm afraid that I'm going to have to order a full investigation of this with your consent, Mr. Brewster.
Well, I'll send them to the showers. Take about 20 years to dry off. Where are you going? Better take a big towel. Mr. Roundfield, you're a real nice man. Thank you very much, you're a real nice man. Warren, better learn the blues. You know.
Hey, baby, I'm sorry I did it. I didn't mean to do it. You left the money.
Angela and Monty leave hand in hand. Then a view shows the glittering New York skyline. Remaining opening titles. Music by Rye Cooter. Costume designer Marilyn Vance. Executive producer Gene Levy. Editors Freeman Davies, Michael Ripps. Production designer John Vallone. Director of photography Rick Waite, ASC. Based on the novel by George Barr McCutcheon. Screenplay by Herschel Weingrod and Timothy Harris. Produced by Lawrence Gordon and Joel Silver. Directed by Walter Hill. More credits roll.
Bye.
Copyright 1985 by Universal City Studios, Inc. All rights reserved. The characters and events depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. This film has been described by Deluxe, with funding by Universal, voiced by Tansy Alexander.